Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Selvin. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you for the Q4 and FY 2023 earnings conference call of Indostar Capital Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter and full year business performance, we have from the management Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Vinod Kumar Panikar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sreejith Menon, Chief Executive Officer of Indostar Home Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Karthik.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks, Nikunj. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Karthikeyan Srinivasan, would like to extend a warm welcome to each one of you for attending our conference call on the earnings for the fourth quarter and financial year ended March 2023. Joining me on the call are Mr. Vinod Panikar, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sreejith Menon, the Chief Executive Officer of Indostar Housing Finance. We are pleased to report a profit after tax of rupees 225.2 crore for the full year FY 2023 as compared to a loss of rupees 736 crore for the full year FY 2022. Disbursements were at 2,099 crore for the year and 898 crore for the quarter, up by 72% from 522 crore in quarter three of FY 2023. The total AUM stood at 7,813 crore. As an organization, we are focusing on the used commercial vehicle segment and the affordable housing segment. As you're aware, according to the latest reports of CARE as well as ICRA, domestic automobile sales grew by around 20% year-on-year, and each of the categories witnessed double-digit growth. We saw two-wheelers moving up by 17%, passenger vehicles by 27%, commercial vehicles by 34%, and tractors by 12%. Particularly in the commercial vehicle segment, the growth of 34% has been robust based on and has crossed the peak of  2018-19, making it the second highest domestic sale. The demand outlook for this segment remains positive due to the continuous focus of the central government on the infrastructure, as well as the implementation of the onboard diagnostic device, the stage 2A price hike. All these have been driving the commercial vehicle segment. What has happened due to this new commercial vehicle momentum is this has given a large impetus to the used commercial vehicle market, immediately creating a pool of second-hand commercial vehicles, which is Indostar's stated target segment. UCV, which has a much lower ticket size and typically are purchased by medium-distance operators between local towns, plays to company's strengths and our branch network reach in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 towns is with the company's retailization strategy. To capture this growth in the used commercial vehicle segment, our focus has been on investing in technology and digitization to improve our operating turnaround times and productivity. This also helps us drive our operating cost efficiency. To capture this, we have launched a new digital process which will ensure customer convenience and will ensure a quicker turnaround. This will also create a USP for us in the Tier 3, Tier 2, Tier 4 towns which we are in and ensure that our performance is sustained. We have also launched a customer service app last year, which makes our customer life easier through online services, so that he gets whatever the services he requires immediately. We are also strengthening our management team. We have brought in a new business head, Devraj, who joined in March, and a new product head, Deepesh Mehta, who joined in March again. Both have significant experience in the commercial vehicle area, which is our core focus. A new chief risk officer will be joining shortly, and with these changes in place, we have a stable management team which is well equipped to ensure that this company goes on a growth path. Coming back to the business, our collection efficiency reached 126% in the current quarter, reflecting our commitment to maintain high credit standards and efficient operations. The collection against the pool, which we sold to ARC last year, also gives us confidence in obtaining write-backs in the future. We are diligently monitoring our quality of portfolio, resulting in decrease in the gross stage three assets to 6.8% at the end of the fourth quarter from the 13.6% it was last year. Before I hand over to Mr. Vinod, I would like to mention that Everstone Capital has successfully completed the sale of 14.21% of the company's total paid-up share capital, making the company compliant with the minimum public shareholding requirement. We thank the new investors who have put faith and capital in the company's vision, mission, and the management execution ability. I would also like to highlight that the rating agency CARE has removed the rating watch with negative implications as on March 31, 2023, and assigned a stable outlook to the instruments and facilities of Indostar. With the strengthening of the management team, the strengthening of our processes, improvement in liquidity, and a buoyant economy, we are confident of our ability to capitalize on the growing used commercial vehicle market and expand our business. We are also optimistic that the digitization process and the technology which we are driving will ensure that we are able to ride the used commercial vehicle growth in India. Also, the low base which we have will ensure that we exhibit strong growth over the next few years and at a much higher pace than the industry. With this, now I'd like to hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Vinod Panikar, to present the company's financial performance. Sir.
Thank you, Karthikeyan, and good afternoon to all of you. We sincerely appreciate your presence on this conference call today. Allow me to provide you with an overview of the financial performance for the past quarter and the fiscal year that went by of March 23. The year, as we had communicated in the last quarter conference call also, was a challenging one. Despite these challenges, we are pleased to report a profit after tax of 76 crores for the quarter compared to a loss of 754 crores in the same quarter last year. Similarly, for the full fiscal year, the PAT was at 225 crores compared to a loss of 737 crores in the previous year. These improvements were primarily driven by a reduction in impairment costs. Due to the various issues identified last year, we had to make substantial provisions. While I would say that many of these were conservative provisions, but that were made by us. We have been able to reverse a lot of these provisions, and also the provisioning requirements on the new portfolio has been much lower, which indicates that the new sourcing which has happened is of extremely high quality. Our yields have significantly improved, and we have shifted our focus to the Tier 3, Tier 4 market with 90 to 95% of our disbursement happening in the used commercial vehicle space, where the yields are significantly better. In terms of the operating expenses, we recorded a total cost of 66 crores for the fourth quarter, representing a 22% decrease over the same quarter last year. The reduction this quarter is mainly on account of reversal of unvested ESOPs that were charged to P&L in the previous year. In terms of collections, we have been able to achieve a total collection of 918 crores during the current year, quarter, an increase of 8% compared to the immediately preceding quarter. Our gross collection efficiency reached 126 crores in the current quarter, reflecting our commitment to maintaining high credit standards and efficient operations. With this, all the four quarters, we have been able to have a collection efficiency of 125% plus, which is definitely speaking volume of the collection efficiency that we have been showing in the last financial year. The collections against the pool sold to the ARCs have also given us confidence that we are we'll be writing back a lot against the SRs in the future, in the coming quarters. We are diligently focusing on the quality of our portfolio, resulting in an increase in gross stage 3 assets to 6.8% at the end of the fourth quarter. This downward trend has continued in each quarter, with the stage 3 reaching 479 crores in absolute numbers as of end of March 23, from 1,203 crores that was there as of March 22. The stage 2 asset also experienced a decline, coming down from 1,770 crores to 1,203 crores as of end of March 23. These achievements reflect our commitment to maintaining a healthy loan portfolio going forward. Mind you, this figures are not strictly comparable, as in the month of, in the March year end, there is an higher delinquency due to the Onan impact, which I would want to mention upfront. Our consolidated net stage 3 was at 3.2, demonstrating effectiveness of our credit risk management strategy, which has improved from 6.4% as was seen as of 31st March 22. In terms of funding, we successfully raised 900 crores in the fourth quarter of FY23, and for the full year, 3,967 crores was raised, contributing to the healthy liquidity position. As of 31st March, we had maintained a cash and cash equivalent of approximately 1,069 crores, representing a 17% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. Our capital adequacy at 31.5% and the debt equity of 1.8 times shows that we have got ample headroom for growth in the future, and we are confident that we will be driving profitable growth in the coming quarters and the years to and the years. Our asset under management of 7,813 crores is a 2% increase compared to the immediately preceding quarter. This is the first time our AUM has grown after three consecutive quarters of decline. We have seen an increased disbursement of 898 crores in the current quarter, up from 522 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. This growth can be attributed to the strong focus on the retail segment, which on an overall basis accounted for 85% of 6,587 crores of our total AUM. Our retailization efforts, which we initiated in 2017-18, continues to yield favorable results, and we are confident in our ability to sustain profitable growth in the upcoming quarters as well. Moving to the segmental performance, our vehicle finance business reported an AUM of 3,672 crores, an increase of 6% over the immediately preceding quarter. And as mentioned in our previous interactions, our emphasis will continue to be on growing the used CV segment, and the growth in the AUM is increasing and will continue to be so. As regards the retail estate book, we had clearly said at the time of our retailization strategy, or beginning of our retailization strategy, that this will come down. It was at about 3,000 crores as of end of FY20. Today it is in the 1,200 crore range, and it will keep going down over the next few quarters. We are focused on transforming our SME portfolio by changing the composition of our book from a large ticket to a small ticket. Now, I would like to invite my colleague, Srijit Menon, to provide further insight into our housing finance business, which remains a very key focus area for us. Come on, Srijit.
Thank you, Vinod. Good afternoon, everybody. As many of you already know, Indostar Home Finance is an affordable home finance company with primary focus in providing high-yielding housing loans, typically ranging from 14.5%-15.5%. Our portfolio consists of loans with an average ticket size of INR 8.9 lakhs. I'm proud to say that we maintain a best-in-class asset quality with a net Stage 3 rate of close to 0.9% and healthy spreads across our portfolio. We have laid a very strong foundation in this year with our robust branch infrastructure and a dedicated team of employees. With these resources in place, we are fully committed to expanding our assets under management and doubling it, more than doubling it, over the next 2 years. This is what we have been able to achieve in the last 3 years as well, including the period of the pandemic. In FY 2022, we witnessed a significant increase in our disbursements, doubling of the figures compared to the previous year. We used the first half of FY 2023 to focus on significantly improving our portfolio quality, which you all can see has happened, as we got ourselves prepared for Onam. And in the last quarters, we went back to ramping up our disbursements. I'm pleased to announce that we disbursed loans worth 183 crores in Q4, which represented an increase of 71% over the previous quarter of Q3 FY 2023. We have a clear line of sight on liquidity and a robust funding pipeline to support our efforts. To further reinforce this initiative, we have strengthened our workforce, bringing the total number of employees to 684 in quarter four FY 2023, with a particular emphasis on our feet on street. In terms of financial performance, we've achieved positive results. As of March 2023, our AUM increased by 6% over the previous quarter, reaching INR 1,623 crores compared to INR 1,526 crores in December 2022. Additionally, we recorded a net total income of 33.2 crores for Q4 FY 2023 and INR 144 crores for FY 2023. Our PAT at INR 3 crores for Q4 FY 2023 and INR 38 crores for FY 2023, which is an increase over the previous year. I'm delighted to report that our efforts in managing asset quality have been indeed successful. Our gross Stage 3 rates have trended downwards to 1.3% as of March 2023. This is including the new Onam norms, marking a significant improvement from the 1.8% levels in March 2022. This achievement is even more noteworthy considering that we implemented these new norms on October 1st, 2022. Maintaining a healthy capital adequacy ratio is of utmost importance to us. I'm proud to share that our ratio currently stands at 80.5%, highlighting our ability to support business growth while ensuring ample capital reserves. Over the last FY, we've also strengthened our leadership team by onboarding accomplished professionals from the industry to oversee critical functions such as finance, HR, and technology. We firmly believe that this infusion of talent will enable us to scale up our business operations even further. In conclusion, I want to express my sincere appreciation to each and every one of you. Your continued support and trust in Indostar Home Finance is invaluable. We will now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while the questions are being asked. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and congratulations on steady performance. My questions were twofold. One was on the stressed portfolio that you sold and you have some, and you also retained a certain component of that. How is the collection efficiency in that portfolio working out? That's question number one. And question number two is on a standalone basis, if you take out the ESOP, which you've done, sequentially the cost, operating costs seem to have come down, if I read it right, from 48 to 44 crores. What would you say is the trend or going to be the trend in operating costs in the future? Thank you.
Thanks, Vivek. Thanks for being on the call. Vinod here. To answer your queries, I will take the second question first. Operating last quarter, we in terms of the employee cost, I think we had included some bit of incentive and bonus provisioning for the first couple of quarters, because that the third quarter was the first time when we saw things steadying, and therefore we wanted to create those provisions which would be payable. So that is the reason Q3, Q4, in the fourth quarter you are seeing some bit of reduction versus the third quarter. For going forward, it would be more in line with the fourth quarter numbers. On the collection against the stress pool, like both Karthik and me, both of us had told at during our speech, the collection against the sold portfolio has been excellent, in a sense that in the last transaction that we did, not only the amount that we received in cash against the sale, that has got collected, we have been able to collect substantial amount of collection against the SRs as well. We had actually felt we had actually given a commitment that against the 250 crores that we got upfront would get collected by June of 23. We actually ended up collecting the whole thing by the end of November or early December 22. So we expect the SRs collection also to happen. A large chunk of it has got collected. We have not reversed any of the provisions. It is still in the books against SRs. And that would get collected, and we would we are expecting against the 120 crores of SR, the whole thing would get collected, and something more would also get collected.
So thank you very much, and wish you good luck.
Thanks, Vivek.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. My first question is that CV finance and housing finance are going to be our focus areas. But in that context, can you just elaborate a little bit on what kind of tie-up are we looking with JM Home Finance? You know, like, is it eventually going to be an outright sale, or you know anything on this particular news item which was there?
So, you know, the company announced on April 24, 2023 that we were engaged in preliminary discussions with JM Financial Home Loans to explore potential strategic options, including potential combination and listing of the retail mortgage portfolio of JM Financial and the home finance business of Indostar Home Finance, including other mortgage-backed businesses of Indostar Capital. Now, these discussions are ongoing. Evaluations are on, due diligence is going on, and we will come back to you when there are further developments.
Okay, fine. So my second question is that, with the new management has already spent two or three quarters in the company. So on the commercial vehicle finance bit, you know, I just want to know that, you know, as investors, what are the two or three things that, you have identified so that the mistakes of the past don't repeat? You know, when I say that, our CV finance portfolio, let's say it has to grow from 3,800 crores to something like 6,000-7,000 crores over next few years, how have we ensured that, the management oversight, the controls, these are much better than what has been the case in past? Any you know such trackables or any dope would be really helpful for all of us.
Yeah, again, two, three things we have started doing. First and foremost, we have started putting, we have put a very robust hindsighting system, which immediately escalates any kind of deviation on the policy front that have been taken by the credit team. Second, we have launched the, on the digitization front, we have business rule engines which throw up any kind of errors which have the credit manager could have potentially done. These are two things which we are doing in terms of monitoring. Third is we are communicating to the team why it is not healthy to keep going and funding overdue. So the customer, when he becomes overdue, we are saying that because you are going to operate at 18%, we are going to have a particular kind of delinquency and the field team need not panic. That confidence is something which as senior management, we are continuously giving to the team. So the automatically the team now realizes that there is going to be delinquency and that delinquency has to be within the boundary levels which we have defined for ourselves. These are the three actions which we are taking.
And last but not the least, Digant, what we have done is we have told the team that businesses could be bad in a month, it could be bad in a quarter, everything is fine. But policies need to be adhered to the way it is actually meant to be adhered to. So very clearly, we are putting a lot of emphasis on policy adherence, lot of emphasis on compliance of everything. So all this put together along with the technology and the processes and other things that Karthik did just mentioned about, we are fairly confident that anything that had happened in the past was an aberration and that will not get repeated.
Right. So fair to say that you know, you internally as a team also feel confident enough to start growing this portfolio at a reasonable rate, say, you know, after maybe one or two more quarters, or these measures have already been done and we feel confident enough to start growing the CV book organically?
We are very confident that these measures are holding, because whatever is the disbursement we did in October, November, December also, we are closely monitoring. So we know that what is the kind of underwriting which we should not do. So those things are getting removed from the policy. Say like a particular asset not behaving well in a particular market, we are immediately removing those assets so that we don't repeat those kind of funding. We are pretty confident that with the growth in the market, we will be able to capture that and start growing. Our controls are in place. Only thing is we need to strengthen our distribution and start growing. That's the action which we are taking now.
Right. Thank you, gentlemen, for this detailed answer. I'm sure these measures will also help you reduce the borrowing cost in FY24. So my good wishes to all the managers. Thank you.
Thanks, Digant. Thanks for being on the call.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Reliance General. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, congrats on the good set of numbers. So what I would like to understand largely is that how is the cost of fund behaved in the quarter and what kind of increase or decrease in cost of fund can we expect going forward?
I had in the fourth quarter, the total, the cost of fund was in the range of about 10.5%. We believe that this is possibly the peak for the cost of funds, because in the recent past, we have been sourcing funds in form of NCDs and things like that. We were all waiting for the Q4 results to come so that we can, with the financials, go to the banks and ask for funds. We have been speaking to most of the banks, and their ask was simple, saying that, no, come back to us after the fourth quarter. We are very keen to look at it. We are very we are very confident that the banks kind of banks funding would come to us, and overall cost of funds should start going down then after the next couple of quarters.
Okay, so got it, sir. And on the yields, so if we have to look, so how would the portfolio yields shape up going ahead? So if I understand that corporate and SME book, we are running it down.
Correct.
So, Any impact of that which we'll see on yield or margins?
See, currently, our focus is on two lines of businesses. One is CV, and the next one is housing finance. The corporate and the SME are the portfolios where we are saying that we will try to reduce it over a period of time. And those are the ones which possibly the yields are lower. CV, we have said in the past, I'm repeating it, it's in the yields are in the range of 18 to 18.5%. And housing finance is also equally good. With housing CV business as of end of March, the CV portfolio was at about 47% of the total. And we expect that as a percentage to go up significantly. And when that goes up, the overall yield, because that becomes a larger portion of our total AUM, our overall yield will start looking up. CV is at about 47%. Housing finance was at about 21%. So when the 47 becomes higher, and which we are confident of because we are looking at the major growth in the current year, the overall yields will start going up. We have said that to the previous question, we have said that the interest or cost of funds will come down, and that will help us to increase the overall net interest income.
Okay, sir. So thank you for answering my question. I'll come back in queue for further questions.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Bhalotia from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
So congratulations for the good set of numbers. Can you elaborate on the guidance that you have given on the full year disbursements for FY24? So this 350 crore average monthly disbursement target that you have given, this includes housing as well?
No, CV, we want to do 4,000 crores. That's the average 350 crores which we have mentioned. Housing
okay.
will be a separate number, which will be around 1,100 crores.
Okay, housing will be 1,100 crores. So broadly, 5,100 crores for the entire company. Because the rest of the segments, corporate and SME, would be flat to be growing, right?
See, corporate, na, there are, as I mentioned last time also, there are few deals where we are the only lender who incrementally small kind of disbursement will keep happening, but it will not be a major portion. Major portion of 4,000 or the 4,000 crores will be on CV, and roughly 1,100 crores will be on the housing.
Okay. And on the existing AUM, closing AUM that we have roughly around 20 or 30% of rundown. If I just go by the quarterly EMI in collection. Okay, great.
Down by 30%.
Understood. On the cost of funds perspective, you give the obviously a detailed explanation of how your cost you're planning to bring it down. So what is our current incremental spread that we are generating, and what is your internal target for, say, by March, and what is the spread that we will be generating?
Sumit,
on a consolidated basis.
Currently, I would say that my incremental or my cost of funds is in the 10.5% range. And on the CV business, in fact, I will have to keep it separately so that on the CV business, it's with an yield of around 18 to 18.5% that we expect. And on an overall basis, it would be in the range of about 15% on the standalone business, 15.5%. There we would expect a cost of fund of, including the, we expect that the cost of funds would be in the range of about 7 to 8%. So leading to a net interest income of roughly about 6.5% kind of thing. That's the way we look at it.
So basically 7 to 8% is including your equity cost, you're saying, the blended cost of...
Yeah, that's the blended.
Okay. So by year end, you achieve now kind of.
Yeah, from about 5.6%, I think we should go to about 6.5% kind of net interest.
Sure. Sure. Just to understand, so we're back on the growth track. The quarterly growth is visible in this quarter and going forward now we're seeing a big growth. From a steady state perspective, say FY25, what is the normalized spread, NIM, and say OPEX to assets and credit costs that one should assume to have some sort of benchmarking for the ROAs and ROE?
See, I think on a steady state basis, we expect the operating expenses to be in the 4% kind of range. I think that's something which we had communicated, and we will 4% of AUM. We expect the credit cost to be in the 1.5 to 2% range. And this 1.5 or 2% is without any reversals that we would come in the current year also. And net-net, we are looking at an ROA of about 1.5%.
This is 1.5% by FY25?
No, 24. Well, 25 would be much better. It should be in the range of about 2.25 to 2.5% ROA.
Okay. Great, sir. Great. Thanks so much. I will come back in the queue with more questions.
Thanks, Sujit.
Thank you. We shall take the next question. The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So with regards to the announcement that you made with JM Financial, something to do with JM Financial, so can you help us understand what is our intention? Do we want to sell our business or do we want to collaborate in some way?
So, the board of directors had, kind of provided an in-principle approval to the business review committee to engage in discussions because, the way our business has trended over the last 5 to 6 years and we've withstood the test of time and COVID and the underwriting has held fast, we did receive interest from prospective investors. And so, we got that approval to explore options for value unlocking, which will help the housing finance company deliver long-term growth. So these were multiple corporate actions that we were exploring as a part of that. And we met several prospective candidates who were looking at this in the last 2 quarters. JM is one such conversation that has progressed more than the others. And this continued to be ongoing at this stage, as I mentioned earlier.
All right.
Rajat, is very fluid. I think once it takes some shape only, we can possibly say which way it is going and what will be a final shape.
Oh, sure. And what is the total size of our loans in that segment with which we are going to explore the, some sort of collaboration?
Sorry, I don't think we got your question. Can you repeat, please?
What's the loan book size there in our retail side, which we are exploring with JM?
So cumulatively, it will be about 1,800 crores of assets under management.
So is it all housing loans or non-housing loans?
Yeah, and there will be a part of the business at Indostar Capital, right? That the entire business there. So that will be a cumulative component.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned multiple options you are exploring. So one could be, selling it off. Other could be probably listing out separately in a merged entity. So new entity will be formed. Anything else that could be on the table?
No, this is where we are. I mean, whatever we stated is what it is. And like I said, these are very initial days with the conversation with GM. And we will come back to you if there's anything more in terms of development.
Rajat, you know these things better than us, saying that these things would, the shape can keep on changing till the time it actually concludes. So I think we should leave it for time to decide how it goes.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rajat.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Oza from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Some question is if you could guide for book growth for next quarter and what kind of product mix are we looking out to?
Sorry, Rishikesh, your line was breaking. Could you repeat it again?
Sir, my question is whether you could give us guidance on loan book growth for next 2-3 years and also indicate on the product.
Product will be used commercial vehicles and affordable housing on the loan book.
We our intention is to have a book of roughly about 9,000 odd crores in the standalone business, that is the ICF, which would largely be commercial vehicle, and a book of about 4,000 odd crores in the housing finance business. That's in FY 2025. We have
Yes, you were saying something.
No, while you asked for 3 years, we have actually have more, I would say, clarity on what would be in 2 years from now. So we thought we should mention that.
Okay, no problem. That will do. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Mundra from Mytemple Capital Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question was more on the qualitative side. I wanted to understand in both the products that we are trying to focus on, who are our customers and who are our competitors, and how are we trying to differentiate from our competitors, or what do we think is our competitive strength vis-a-vis our competitors?
Yeah, I'll take this. Thanks, Anand. Thanks for the question. In the used commercial vehicle segment, our key critical competitors will be the larger players like Cholamandalam and smaller players in niche markets, like an IKF Finance in Andhra or a Kokta in Western Maharashtra or a SK in Rajasthan. Plus, Shriram is also there. These are the major competitors. Our segments will be retail and FTU profiles, who are customers who have just taken a vehicle or who are planning to buy vehicles. These are our major focus areas in the commercial vehicle segment. If you look at it, the used commercial vehicle segment in India is very large. It is around 1.7 lakh crore market, and 40% of it is only with organized players. The balance 60% is with unorganized players only. Our ability to go and tap this unorganized segment will help us achieve the numbers what we are committing. The unorganized segment players operate at much higher rates than what we are offering, and also don't provide a seamless processing to these customers. That's the USP with which we are entering the Tier 3, Tier 4 market, so that we can capture the Tier 3, Tier 4 with our digitized products, which will be our USP, wherein the customers will be able to understand if a proposal will go through or not. That's the second USP with which we are doing. We are not saying that it is vastly different from what a large competitor is doing, but the reach at the Tier 3, Tier 4 markets, where he will be having a differentiation between us and the unorganized player, will help us achieve the numbers. This is the strategy on the used commercial vehicle. On the housing, I'll request Srijit.
So on housing, very clearly we are focused on the informal segment, which is the informal self-employed segment, primarily residing in Tier 3, Tier 4, and looking at constructing their own house. So our average ticket sizes are perfectly in sync with the affordable housing True Blue definition of sub 1 million. And our competitors would largely be players like Aptus and Aavas, which are similarly focused on these markets and these customer segments. And we've actually been able to build a strong foundation in South, which is well recognized as a bastion for affordable housing in the country. And that's where we will continue to put our investments in.
All right. Thank you for the detailed answers. On the CV side, I just had one more query. So typically, what is the loan tenure that we are looking at?
Typically, used commercial vehicle is around 3 years is the tenure. 3 to 3.5.
All right. And how does the recovery in this business work? Is it like more by calling the customer and trying to, if a loan goes bad, just calling the customer or trying to take possession of their vehicles, or how does it work?
It is typically calling the customer, meeting him when he has the money. That's the what you call the fastest finger first strategy. Wherever you are there along with the customer, that's how the CV industry works. Recovery through stopping the vehicle is a very small portion. 2 to 3% of the portfolio will go through that process also. But typically, if you are there along with the customer in the hinterland market, the customer tends to come and pay you on time.
Okay. And the current book that we have, the CV book, what would be the vintage of that book? Like, how old approximately would that book be?
That is around 19 MOB.
All right. Okay, thank you. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thanks, Anand.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jehan Bada from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, gentlemen. So my question is on the ROA guidance of for FY25. So what would be the levers that would help us increase ROA from let's say 1.5% in current year to 2.5 next year?
We had actually said about.
There's an echo.
Can that be corrected?
Hello. Yeah. So I'll repeat my question.
I got your question. It's only the echo which is bothering me. Nothing else. So what I'm. The levers for the change in the ROA would be mainly on account of increased yield, overall yield, which would be based on the higher yielding CV business that we'll be focusing on. We are saying that over the last 1 year or so, we had limited, funding which were coming from banks, and we are confident that a lot will start coming from going forward, and our focus on ensuring that the operating expenses are under check. To do this, one thing that we have emphasized on is we have told each and every branch of ours that we will look at the branch profitability. That is something which will ensure that our overall cost is under check, because each of the branch would want to be seen profitable, and their KRAs will be determined basis that. Or their achievement of the KRAs will be determined basis that would be one big component. So we are looking at all these factors together to ensure that the ROA goes up from 1.2% in the current year to about 2.5% in FY25.
Correct. Okay, fine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I just wanted to understand on the AUM side, what is the kind of a size are we looking for in, say, another 8 quarters? I mean, need not be, it is okay if you don't give the mix as well, but what is the size we are looking at? What is the book size we are looking in 6 to 8 quarters?
Yeah, I will, I mentioned in one of the previous queries, I think we had said that we will be by end of FY25, are looking at roughly about 9,000 odd crores for the standalone, and on a consolidated basis at about 13,000 crores.
Oh, okay. Standalone 9,000 and 13,000 crores for consolidated, and if I'm not wrong, around 6,000 crores out of this would be CV finance, right? Or it will be more?
It should ideally be more. Because let us say, currently, out of 13,000, roughly 50%, I said about 47% is, CV. So that will possibly go to 60-65%. So I think you should look at a much larger number.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity. So as you mentioned that your housing finance business will be a key area of focus, so I had just a couple of questions on that end. So my first question was, your guidance for FY24 with regards to, you know, AUM growth, disbursements, OPEX, credit costs, etc.
So on the housing finance company side, we should be looking at around 1100 crores of disbursements, and we should look at a 50% growth rate over the previous year. That's our endeavor in terms of our assets under management. Our credit cost, as you know, has held quite steady over the last few years, and so we expect our credit cost to be similar and to be under the 0.5% range in terms of overall credit cost.
Yes, sir. And operating expenses?
So let me put it this way. Our endeavor will be to be at a return on asset of around 2.6-2.7% for the next financial year.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And another question. Do we see any pressure on the net interest margins, considering there are many players in the housing finance segment?
Not really. So, you know, one of the advantages we've had, if you see our growth over the last few years, has been that we've largely been a home loan-led portfolio. And you've seen a lot of the players have an inclination towards small ticket non-home loan products as well. So we've been about 82% on home loans, 18% on LAP. And over the last year, we've seen some opportunity in the smaller markets to increase the higher yielding, smaller ticket LAP part of the business, which is, by the way, done very well for us. So while we continue to remain focused on home loans, we will look at some uptick in the LAP, the small LAP business, which will help keep our yields and our spreads intact. We've always been at a 5.5-6% spread range, and we don't see any challenge in keeping that range.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Balodia from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the question again. I wanted to get some sense on the stage 2 movement. In the presentation, we started reporting stage 1 and stage 2 combined. You know, 1 year back when the crisis had happened, this number used to be 27-28%, and that's where the bulk of the recognition had come. So can you give some sense on where these numbers are currently, and what kind of provision do we have, excluding stage 1 provisioning? So stage 2 movement and provisioning.
Stage 2 as of on a standalone basis, because I am talking about a standalone because that is the area where we had actually seen some issues last year. On a standalone basis, we had a total book of about 1,709 as of March 22. That has gone down to about 1,172. Against that, that time we had to keep a higher provisioning of 20.7%. That has now come down to 15.1%. That's about 177 crores.
I missed the number. It's 1022 crore as of March 23.
1172 crore.
Okay.
1172 crore.
Okay.
One account we explained to you last time also. It's because of one large account which is there.
Okay, so basically this includes the corporate part also. And if I have to just look at the retail part on the retail book, what would be the stage 2?
Only the CV portion you are asking?
Yes, the CV portion.
Mm-hmm.
can we separately take it offline with you, Sumit?
Sure. No, absolutely no issues on that front. Sir, two questions on the CV front. One is that disbursement yields, I was just looking at the blended number which is reported, that has slightly come down on a quarterly basis. Second is on the bounce rate. I think you reported on a monthly basis, so from September 2022, it has slightly inched up 10.5% to 12.8%. Any specific reasons for these two?
Well, see, the first question I didn't understand. The second question, bounce portion, I'll answer. The first question, if you can repeat.
Is that the disbursement yields on CV book has slightly come down on a quarterly basis, whatever is reported in the presentation. In the current setup, yields are not moving down. It's been revised upwards. So, any reason for that? And secondly, on the bounce rate.
See, the yields have remained almost flat only. There is no much difference between the yields. I'll just check it out. The bounce rate, because many of these customers have just entered into the banking space, always the initial portion of it, there is always an increase in the bounce rate. After some amount of learning, these customers learn how to bank and then move. So, many of our competitors offer a non-PDC mode, wherein every month you go and collect. We are not offering that mode as a practice. Now, we are pushing everybody to give a NACH certificate, NACH, basically their repayment happens. So the initial period for these customers to understand why it is important to come and pay on time, the initial months we'll see some bounce, then it will automatically stabilize.
Yeah. To answer your first part of your question, why there has been a reduction in the yield on the disbursements in the fourth quarter versus the third quarter. Fourth quarter did see some 6%-7% of the disbursements in the form of new CVs, and therefore, the yield actually came down to 19.1.
Okay.
Now, maybe to answer your other question, on that, you had asked about, on a CV, stage two for CV specifically, it was 789 crore as of 31st March 2022. That has gone down to 182 crore as of 31st March 2023.
Oh, so only 182 crore left. Oh, great.
182 crore, yeah.
Yeah. This is very helpful, sir. Thanks so much. If time permits, there are two more questions. One on the housing finance part, the other expenses have shot up, and despite of, you know, AUM growth and lower employee expenses and provision reversal, our PAT has come down. So what is the reasoning behind that?
You are specifically looking at the fourth quarter?
Yeah, specifically for the fourth quarter.
Yeah. See, it is specifically on account of certain additional charges that we have taken, because there is a process of, I would say, cross-charge, which happens on certain fixed costs. So, the figures are finalized in the fourth quarter, so some additional charge has been taken.
Understood. So lastly, question on net worth reconciliation. We did a profit of around 76 crore, reported profit of 76 crore, and our net worth has gone up by hardly 26-27 crore. So, why is that?
Just a second. You did. We will separately revert to you on that, Sumit.
Sure. No worries. Thanks for the responses. Thank you.
Thanks, Sumit. Thanks for being on the call.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today, and also thanks to all the participants. If you have any query, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital Advisors, Orient Capital, Investor Relations Advisors to Indosuncal Capital Finance Limited. Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Indosuncal Capital Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.